This morning's reading is taken from Psalm 122. I was glad when they said to me, "Let us go to the house of the Lord." Our feet are standing within your gates, O Jerusalem. Jerusalem, built as a city that is bound firmly together. To it the tribes go up, the tribes of the Lord, as was decreed by for Israel, to give thanks to the name of the Lord. For there the thrones of judgment were set up, the thrones of the house of David. Pray for peace of Jerusalem. May they prosper who love you. Peace be within your walls and security within your towers. For the sake of my relatives and friends, I will say, peace be within you. For the sake of the house of the Lord our God, I will seek your good. This is the word of the Lord. Amen.
Right. Good morning, Olivet Baptist. Can you hear me? Is this loud enough?
Yes.
Excellent. Ever heard of that saying, there's nothing new under the sun? Heard of that? Well, this psalm is an example of that. We are invited along a road trip, and we're invited along with an ancient travel blogger. Yes, you didn't know that travel blogging is as ancient as the Old Testament. Now, he didn't quite have a selfie stick, so he could be walking around taking pictures, and he didn't quite have a computer or an iPad, so he could be posting immediately on Facebook. But what we have here is a record of a journey that somebody took that really thrilled them with a lot of excitement, and they are so thrilled and so excited that they really want to share that with us. This is a poem of an ancient blogger. This excited traveler who wants to tell us all of the details about this really great and exciting trip that they took. Thank goodness he's not like one of our friends. You know those friends who've been on holiday and then come back and are so excited to share all their stories and their pictures with you. And your heart goes down when they flip open their laptop and you realize there are 700 pictures. And they feel the need to tell you everyone, you know, including what I had at a particular place and what's on my plate. Just a little bit of an aside, what I do with friends who want to show us the pictures, I say, limit it to 30. Choose the top 30, okay? Thank goodness this particular traveler does that. But the important thing here is they're not so excited about in terms of going on this great sightseeing tour. This person is excited to be going to church. Excited to be going to worship. Now, quick question for you. What is the most unholy hour in a Christian household? Think about it. You've just been through it. Okay. It is that hour before church. Is that not true? Okay. Why? What happens in that hour before church? Well, absolute mayhem in most families, okay? You've shouted at the kids, you've argued with your spouse, you've sped like a maniac, and you've told people on the road, go to heaven, okay? And you've walked in here peaceful, serene, and calm, okay? Meanwhile, your heart is racing, and you're wondering, Lord, am I even prepared for worship? Okay, how many of us have been through that experience? Okay, so let's be honest. This psalmist is really presenting us with a great example of what it is to be the people of God. This is an exemplary psalm. This psalm is presenting us with this model of what it is. And this person's excitement begins right at the beginning. The excitement begins with the invitation. The friends say, come, come with us. Let us go up to the house of the Lord. And they are glad to join in with their friends and family. And they tell us that they're excited about that. And they are on this great journey because this is one of the psalms of ascent when God's people gathered from all over Israel and came to Jerusalem for those great festivals, for those great occasions to gather for worship. And they are so excited to be part of that, and they tell us that they were thrilled just to get inside of Jerusalem, to enter in and to be standing on the other sides of her gates. Our feet are standing within your gates, O Jerusalem. They are in the place where God is, and they are literally like a great traveler gawping at the scene. Their mouths are open. They are taking this in. They are soaking it up. But they enjoyed the road trip, but they did not lose sight of the important thing. And that was why they were there, the destination and their goal. They were coming to Jerusalem, the city of God, this place where God chose out of all the places on earth to be especially present, this place where He chose to put His temple, His shrine, that place where His presence dwelt amongst His people in a special way. They knew that they couldn't contain Him to the temple and they couldn't contain Him to Jerusalem, but He had chosen to dwell there specially. And they were absolutely, or this person is absolutely amazed and is basking in that opportunity and reveling in that privilege to worship there. So they're in the gates and they're all excited. Now, like a great traveler, they're looking around. And he tells us, what's the first thing that he sees as his gaze gets cast across the city? He notices the place where he's actually standing and he figures out that this is a great city with massive, thick, protecting walls. The city's solid construction hits him right in the gut. He says, Jerusalem, you are bound together firmly. Now to us it sounds like, okay, great picture of a wonderful city, but we got to remember that most people would have lived out in the rural towns and in small villages. So they are much more exposed. They don't have this walls that the great city has as protection around them. So they feel that vulnerability. And they possibly have traveled from very, very far away and been exposed to danger during the day and danger at night and exposed to the elements. So as they step into the city, as they step into the gates, as they enter into those great walls, it hits them in their gut. And this particular person feels that, but realizes that that gut feeling that they have is actually a great gut level metaphor for a spiritual reality. And that as we enter into the place where God is as God's people, we feel that protection, we feel that peace, it hits us here. It should hit us here, my friends. As you enter into those doors, it should hit you here. You're entering into a special place, into a sacred place. And this person is reminding us of that. This is a place where we feel God's protection and we feel God's peace in a special way. Feeling that this morning? I hope that you are. And I hope that you bear that in mind every time that you come to worship. As you know, this is my last sermon. You are kicking me out, but that's fine. The Lord has found a place for me. And that's what I hope will always be your experience, Olivet Baptist. You will always gather here because it's a great privilege as God's people to come here to feel His peace, His protection, His security. There is something special about church. There really, really is. And I hope you feel that. So, that's his first thing. He's looking around and he notices great city walls and he's impressed by what he sees. But then he's impressed by another scene as he looks around. He notices what? He notices this massive throng of people. It tells us that Jerusalem is a city built strong and bound together firmly, but together to it the tribes go up, the tribes of the Lord. And as he's looking around, he's seeing this absolute multitude of people. Different tribes from the 12 tribes of Israel, 12 tribes of Israel from different parts of the country. But here, amazingly, even though there are 12 tribes scattered across the countryside, they are gathered here as the people of God, as Israel. And we as the people of God, we are scattered out into the world, into our places of work, into our homes, those spheres of influence that God has put us in outside of the church. But when we gather and when we come together in this particular place, we gather as the people of God. And he's reminding us that this is where the people of God find their true center. The importance of worship. Why does church matter? Church matters because worship and coming to church centers our lives. It reorients us. It gives us the right picture, the right perspective, and it then prepares us to be scattered again. So God, in His sacred wisdom, has built this great rhythm into the spiritual lives of His people, gathering, scattering, gathering, scattering. And we are scattered in order to serve and to be the arms and the legs and the feet of Christ, but we are gathered so that we are reoriented. And in Christ, we are not only reoriented, but in Christ we find our true identity. And what is that identity? It's not which family you come from. It's not which job you have. It's not even your gender. It's not even your status. Your true identity is in Christ. And we come here and we are reminded of the fact that our true identity is as the people of God, as the body of Christ. That is our witness to the world. So even though we're sitting here and we're thinking, my goodness, are we making any kind of impact? We are making a huge impact. Why? Because we are testifying to who Christ is and we are being His body in the world. Can I tell you a quick story? I had a conversation the other day with a lady who came up to me, and I'm finding, as I'm still new to ministry, that this conversation is an interesting one. People tend to ask you what you do, okay? Now, the minute you say you're a pastor or a minister, it changes the conversation a lot, okay? So my good friend Matt Kitchener, the reverend at West Point Grey Baptist, he now says, I am a motivational speaker. That's what I am. And then he lets it go from there. But anyway, I mentioned to this particular person that I was a minister, and she was pretty intrigued. And she came from a different part of the world and from a different faith tradition. She came from one of the great faith traditions of Asia. But then she said something very interesting to me. I thought, wow, as a Christian, I should know this, but it was pretty powerful coming from her who wasn't a Christian. She said, you know what? I often watch Christian church on TV. I thought, oh, okay, that's interesting. And she says, I quite enjoy it. I said, oh, okay. So I said, what do you enjoy? And she said something very interesting. She said, you know what I really enjoy? She says, in my tradition, we go to temple, but I go there and I feel that I go there alone. And it's just me and whoever I'm worshiping. Other people are with me, but it's a very private and a very personal thing. She says, what I love about church is that it's corporate, that it's communal. I see these people coming together and they're singing and they're enjoying and there's real, and she used words like fellowship and unity. I thought, that's actually true. What an amazing, for somebody else to look in and walk in and say, that is a distinctive mark of whom we are as the people of God. Powerful stuff, isn't it? Okay. So that's why the author of Hebrews, and thank you, Grant, I didn't ask him to read that, but he read from Hebrews that particular passage where he reminds us, do not neglect to gather together as the people of God. You do so at your own detriment, and you do so to the detriment of the word of God spreading throughout the world. We are the body of Christ, and we are especially so when we are gathered as the people of Christ. Am I coming across a little bit heavy? Okay, I was about to say good. Okay, because I really want to leave you with that powerful picture. And this particular travel blogger, this psalmist, is reminding us that of this great privilege that we have as God's people coming together, finding our true center, and being reminded of our identity. Thanks, Grant. Welcome. So, shall we move on? Okay. So he's reminded us and he's reflected on the place, this amazing place that we have, this place where God is especially present, and he's reminded us of the people who we are and who God has invited us to be. And now he begins to reflect on the purpose of worship. And he says that the purpose of worship is thanksgiving and praise. He reminds us again, to it the tribes go up, the tribes of the Lord, as was decreed by God for Israel. Why? To give thanks to the name of the Lord. The psalmist is reminding us that we get this opportunity as God's people when we gather to give thanks to His name. And we give thanks in doing so. We remember who we are, remember who God is, and we remember what God has done. Four things spring to mind immediately. We remember His rescue and His redemption. A reminder to us that we would not be here if He hadn't redeemed us, if He hadn't saved us, and if He hadn't called us to His name, to Himself. We also remember that He is a God who provides everything. We spoke of that earlier on, and we were reminded of that. He's a God who provides us with all that we need, and it's a God who delights to bless us. Everything that we have, everything that is good, is a gift from His hand. But we also reminded that He has made a way of atonement possible for us, a way to be forgiven, so that we can actually approach Him with boldness and confidence. Why? Because He has done that for us. And this is what the psalmist is remembering. And because of that, because our hearts are filled with gratitude to God, we come and we bring offerings and we bring in our tithe. And this is where we bring it, as a way of saying thank you, as a way of expressing our gratitude to God. And so we find there our purpose. We found our identity, we found our place, but we also find our purpose. And our purpose as the people of God is praise. Praise to His name. But He also goes a little bit further and He gives us a reason as to why we should praise. So for what reason? Very, very interestingly, because God has commanded or decreed it so. Okay? It was decreed by God for the tribes of Israel to do this. In other words, what is He saying? He's saying God expects worship. Now let's be honest. That jars a little bit with our modern sensibilities, doesn't it? When I read it, it jarred a little bit with me. Why? Because we tend to believe that in order for us to be able to give somebody praise or honor or to express our allegiance, they first need to earn or deserve it. Isn't that true? Okay. So if you expect it of me, if it's voluntary, if it's involuntary, it doesn't feel authentic. Okay. But this ancient psalmist, he doesn't have an issue with that at all. Okay, that's not the issue for him right here. He realizes that God is sovereign. God is the one who made all things. He's the great creator, but He's also the great God who's a redeemer. And so He deserves honor and glory and praise. And he's more excited not by the fact that God expects it, but by the fact that He can give it. He's really taken in by the fact that this is a wonderful opportunity that he has, together with this great throng, to come together to give praise and honor and glory to God. Why? Because they know God. God has revealed himself to them, but we also know what God expects of us. Isn't that amazing? So many people are out there, there's different forms of spirituality and religion out there, where people are reaching out, hoping to reach and be in touch with the divine. And the psalmist is reminding us, guess what? We know the divine. He knows us. He's revealed himself to us. And the amazing thing is, he's not only revealed himself to us, but he's shown us how we are going to gather together for worship and praise. So I know who God is and I know what to do. And it's a wonderful thing. He's a God who's revealed himself as rescuer and as redeemer. And I know where to go. I know what to do. I know how I should live in order for him to bless me. Isn't that amazing, my friend? My friends, God has revealed himself to us. And he's shown us how he's made the way that should fill you with glory and praise. And at that point, I need a nice Canadian amen.
Amen.
Okay. God has given us his word. We know him. He's given us his spirit. We experience him. His spirit is our light and his word is our guide. We don't have to grope around in the dark. We come here as people of God and we know that as we gather for worship, his name is lifted up. He is blessed and he blesses us in return. What a wonderful privilege we have as the people of God to be able to do that. And this ancient travel blogger is reveling, absolutely reveling in that privilege. But then he reminds us as well, very importantly, he reminds us that it was decreed. In other words, it was a commandment or it was a word from God. And he says in verse 5, for there the thrones of judgment were set up, the thrones of the house of David. And the word judgment there isn't so much judgment in the sense of a sentence that's been passed down, but it's more judgment in the sense of a word that is expressed that straightens out things, that makes things right, that puts things back together. A powerful reminder of exactly what God's word does for us. When we come as God's people, we find our true identity here. We find our true purpose, which is praise. But we also come here for guidance. And we come here for direction. We come into this place to get our lives straightened out again by God through the power of his word, so that as we are scattered, we take that peace. We take that security, but we also take that hope into the world out there. So my friends, coming together to worship, to praise, and to have our lives reoriented and straightened out is the reason why church matters. I think that's a pretty important reason. And Olivet Baptist, my prayer and my hope and my desire is that you will never lose sight of that privilege, but also of that great responsibility that we have. So, finally, he moves on and he's looking around and he's observed everything that's happened and he's reflected on why they are there as the people of God. And then he's moved to pray. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. A great line from this particular psalm. There are two great lines that come from the psalm. The first one is that, I was glad when they said to me, let us go into the house of the Lord. And the other one, which is pray for the peace of Jerusalem. And he's praying for the peace of God's people, the peace of the temple, the peace of that city, because he knows that when the temple, when that city is at peace, God's people are at peace. But not only are God's people that are at peace, the rest of the world then finds peace. But I'm very impressed by this particular psalmist's prayer. Do you notice in the prayer, he prays for two things. He prays first for the welfare of the city, but then he also prays for the welfare of others. This is not a self-centered prayer. As I mentioned earlier, this is not a selfie prayer. Okay? So this person is coming to church, and obviously they're bringing their needs and their concerns for God, but they're reminding us of the fact that we gather as God's people. Why? Because we want to pray for each other. We are concerned about the well-being of others. So this pilgrim's prayer is first for the worshiping community. He says, I pray for my friends and for my family, for my fellow pilgrims and fellow believers. That is something which we really ought to do. And I am very grateful, especially here, for Don, the work that you do in putting together that prayer letter each week, which gives us an opportunity to pray specifically for the needs that people have expressed. We gather as God's people to pray for one another, but we also gather as God's people to pray for His blessing here in this place. And there are three great Hebrew words that are used in that prayer that this person is offering up. Is the word peace, is the word flourish, and is the word secure. So peace is a really, really rich Hebrew word. And we know that it's not just the absence of conflict, but it's a sense of being settled and at rest. Untroubled, not ignoring what's happening outside, but untroubled because we are secure in God. It doesn't mean that we won't face difficulty. It doesn't mean that we won't face hardship. It doesn't mean that we won't face persecution and pressure. But it means that we, amidst all of that, as the people of God, can be untroubled. And we are looking forward to the day when God's peace will be expressed over all of creation fully. But we also come, why? Because we want to flourish. And that sense is when we are at peace, when we are rooted into the life of Christ, our lives begin to thrive and our lives begin to bear fruit. That is that sense of flourish. Flourishing. We become the people of God that we should be, and we become the witness to the world that we should be, and our lives begin to bear fruit in the way that they should. And as a result of that, we are able to be secure. That's that sense of being safe against whatever happens outside there. It's a wonderful picture of peace and of security that's been offered here. So he's reminding us, and he closes off by saying, pray for the peace of Jerusalem. May they prosper who love you. Peace be within your walls and security within your towers. And for the sake of my relatives and friends, I will say, peace be within you. And for the sake of the house of the Lord our God, I will seek your good. The psalmist is reminding us that when the temple flourishes, God's people flourish. We are reminded as Christians that when the church, when the body of Christ flourishes, God's people flourish. And when the church is at peace, we, Christ's people, are at peace. Amen? So, like any good preacher, I have to end off by asking, what shall we do? Okay? So here I'm bringing this plane down, I'm landing this baby right now, okay? And I'm grounding it in reality. I want us just to remember the following things. I'm hoping, and I hope that I've left you with a powerful picture from the psalm of why it is that church matters. Why it is that it matters that we gather as God's people regularly for worship. Remember that as we gather for worship, we find our center, and our center is God Himself. And we find our true identity as Christ's body, the people of God. Remember that. But we also find our purpose. Firstly, thanks, praise, and honor to God. But we also find our direction. Lives made straight by the Word of God. We are reoriented, gathered, straightened, strengthened in order to be scattered. Only to gather again in order to be scattered. We need to remember that. But we have this wonderful privilege and opportunity to pray for each other, to pray for the glory of God's name in this place, and for the spread of His word throughout our neighborhood by our example and our lives. And we get to express that great command. We get to live it out as a witness and a testimony to the world. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. This particular prayer reflects that. Love for God, love for neighbor, for people. And then let's rejoice at the privilege we have to gather together as God's people for worship. Let's not neglect to do this on a regular basis with enthusiasm, with gusto, but also with real joy. Why? Because we are the people of God. We are the redeemed. We are the body of Christ. He's called us to be His own, and He's called us to be His witness to the world. Keep this in mind as I close, my friends. A healthy church bears good witness to God's name in the world. And that is my prayer for you, Olivet. As I leave today, this is my last Sunday with you. I hope that I've just left you with a powerful message and a powerful encouragement of the importance of why church matters. God's people. And hopefully next Sunday, rather than fighting with the kids, expressing road rage at others, you'll actually just reflect on the fact that as you come to church, what an awesome privilege I have and we have as God's people to gather together for worship. And I hope that you can truly say in your heart, I was glad when they said to me, let us go to the house of the Lord. Amen. Amen. Let me pray for you, and I'll ask the musicians to come up while I pray. You're going to hear this prayer twice. First, it's my prayer for you today, but it'll also be the basis of my benediction and my blessing upon you later. Is that fine? Okay, let me pray. Heavenly Father, I come before you and I thank you for this special body of Christ, Olivet Baptist Church. I pray, Lord Jesus, that you would always be the center of the life and worship here. May people always find their true purpose and direction in you. Lord, may you remind us always to remember to pray for one another, not to think of our own needs only, but to bear up the needs of others to you. And may we delight always in the privilege of gathering together for worship so that we can witness to the world that our God reigns and our God is great and our God is a God who invites others to come in and join in worship. And Lord, by the witness of this church powerfully in this neighborhood and in this place, O Father, may your name be exalted and lifted up, and may Christ be given glory, honor, and praise. Amen.
Please stand.